So let me pray. God, you are good. You are gracious. And Father, I thank you for each person here. I thank you that you are active in our life, that we don't come together to talk about a thought or an idea, but we talk about a person, a savior, a friend, the one who allows us to change our lives and then see others change their destinies and their lives too. God, you've called us to do some radical things, and I pray that you would raise our eyes, give us faith, give us boldness, and then, Lord, we are excited to see what you're going to do. Thank you for what you've already done. And I pray, Lord, for those students last night that heard the gospel and have never heard that before, and God, we just right now on their behalf, we beg of you, Lord, open their eyes spiritually that they understood what it meant that you died in their place and you offer them a free gift of eternal life and that they need to put their faith in you. And if they will do that, they will pass from death to life. God, in this time, I pray you would speak. I pray you would guide what I say. But more importantly, I pray that your spirit would make clear what it is you want to teach us about how to actually be alive and live alive. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are a visitor, we would love you to fill out a visitor's card. And afterwards, we'd love you to come up over here. We want to give you a gift card, give you some more information about our youth ministry and things. So we are working through a series on being alive. And I hope that you're catching it. I hope that it's making sense. I started out by saying in this series that in this room right now, I guess in essence, there are three kinds of people. There are those who have never come to Christ, and therefore, because of our inherited sin nature, are separated from God. They know about God, but they are not in a relationship with God. And then in this room, there are those who know Christ, and out of that group, there's a split. Some of us, though we're born again, our spiritual life is dead. Because we're living in sin, we've not dealt with our sin. And when Romans says, if whoever you present yourself, you know, if you present yourself to the flesh, you'll die. Your living existence will be dead. And that is not the way God wanted it. But he said, but simply, if you will present yourself to God, present yourself to the Spirit, and really it's about keeping short accounts, saying, God, when I sin, I'm going to deal with it. You've given me a way to deal with it. I don't have to do anything crazy. All I have to do is recognize it, confess it, and move back, and you reconnect me, and I stay alive. And our prayer for you, as it is for us, that you would abide with Christ long enough where you'll see fruit. Because God really works. But he doesn't do it on our command, and he doesn't do it in our way, but he does it in ways that last and that are real, very real. So we're in a three-part, like mini part of this as we look at how do we do this? What does it take to be and stay alive? There's three words. Last week, Lee talked about know. There's some things we need to know. Today, we're talking, using a word that we don't use much. It's called reckon, okay? And I'm going to use an example that I'm hoping you'll be able to kind of step it up and work with me on. And then the last word is yield or present. So know, reckon, yield. So there's some things we needed to know. So I'm going to go back to that just real quickly. The things that it says in Romans 6, it says, don't you know that we were baptized into Christ? Verse 6, we know that our old self was crucified so that the body of sin may be done away with and we'd no longer be slaves to sin. And third, we know that Christ was raised from the dead. Therefore, death no longer has any mastery over him. So if I try to understand what that means, practically, it means I was baptized or placed into the body of Christ when I became a Christian. I showed you, you know, if I use like this little book, this is what happened. When you became a believer, and this is Christ, we were placed into Christ, and everything that was true about Christ is now true about us. But the reality, and you'll see something today where you're going to have to work it out because it doesn't feel like that, and that's our problem sometimes. We just think if I can't see it, I can't, and I don't feel it, then it can't be real. Secondly, what it means is I died, and therefore sin no longer controls me. That's a reality. That is the truth. That's what those verses are saying. I was resurrected with Christ. Now I have the power to obey. and that's not always the way I feel, then death no longer controls me. I have real hope. That's what the Christian life's about. It's a process of change. So my responsibility with these truths is this. And if you're taking notes, you got a sheet on your desk there just that you can kind of follow where I'm going. My responsibility with these truths is, number one, not to forget it. The Bible, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, he says, do not forget, because it's just, we're so prone to. We're so many things demanding our attention that we have to, oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. You know, like you trying to study calculus, like how many things can I remember, you know, and do on a test. But God commands us to remember and not forget. Secondly, we cannot reject them, yet we do that all the time. We hear a statement by Christ like, you are dead to sin, and we're like, I don't think so. I'm very engaged in sin right now, thank you, and so how can I be dead to it? And we just reject that, thinking it's just not possible. And the third is, and this is what I really am going to challenge you to do, is you need to make them your present reality. Not a term we use much, but you need to make them your present reality, which means we all live with things we think are true, but then what we know is true. For instance, your mom tells you, you are so beautiful, my daughter. You know, you're so handsome, my son. You're like, yeah, whatever. And then we walk in the hallway and we read and register how people respond to us. And they're like, you know what? I'm nothing. I'm ugly, actually. And I look at TV and movies and so I don't measure up. So what's real? What is true? Is your mom lying? I don't think so. But that's the realm that we have to figure out. What will I live with? What do I see? And if it's real, I can live it out. But God's calling you by faith to live out things that you can't touch and you can't taste. Check this out. This is what I'm talking about. Right there, some deep truth. Some things in life are most true, the things that we can't see, like love. You know, the love that your parents hopefully have for you, hopefully you sense it's real. It's something I continue to express to my kids, because I think life can make you think through different circumstances, well, maybe they stopped. Or when you find that person you really love, you can't see it in the sense of you can't shine a light on it, but it's very real. Matter of fact, the most real thing in this world is the love that you have from the Lord and the love that you have with other people. But you can't take a picture of it. You can't graph it, but you can sense how real it is. Hope, if you have it, it's very tangible. On our football team, we talk about a lot of things as we approach different games, and our team at Herndon is many times challenged by teams that are bigger, faster, stronger, whatever. But when they realize that there are certain things that are true that they can count on, excuse me, they can have genuine hope. And that's what should describe us as believers, like we looked at summer camp. That people should see so much hope in you, they're like, why do you have that hope? Because you're not doing what I'm doing and you're still happy. What's your deal? Hope is very tangible and real, but you got to take it by faith. So is truth. So I need to make God's truths my present reality by reckoning them as true. Okay? So some truths that God calls out all Christians to live out is, I was born with a sin nature. Okay? I am going to sin. I am born again. My sins have been paid for. The Holy Spirit lives inside me. When I die, I will be with Christ for eternity. And that's where I'm always reminded when I hear that someone has passed. At that moment, it's no longer academic. Your faith isn't. I've had the privilege and challenge of being with several people at the moment where they died. And that's hard. But you know what? Of all the things we face, death is as real as every other part of our life. And if what we believe is true, it means at that second, the Bible says, the truth is, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And if that's true, it changes the way we live. I don't have to live for stuff. I don't have to live for approval. And if I never make it to be on the front of Time magazine, it really doesn't matter. Matter of fact, it doesn't even matter if anyone knows my name. I am going to be with the Lord no matter what. There's a young man, this is really, really hard. There's a young man, Joe DeWitt, who was in this group, strong, awesome believer, and just really saw in him a desire to follow God and please God, and he was tracking, going in the military, he was engaged. He had a heart attack and died over this last year. It's hard. But this is where we got to wake up and go, you know what? Life can be a lot of fun, and we don't live with all the just seriousness about it. But the reality is, I will see Joe again, and so will his fiance that never got to marry him. And that's eternity. That's what's the real deal. And that's what we have to be living for. So this is where we have to take truth and actually make it what we're going to live by, okay? So these are all true, but they're not visibly true, and they're not true by feeling. They're true by faith. And God calls me to believe each of them by faith and to act upon them by faith. They are as real as anything I can see and touch. However, if I live and think and respond as if they're not true, two things will happen. I will miss out on the hope, the power, and the freedom that are already mine, but I will also have to deal with the consequences when I live out as though they are not true. Though many will blame God when we don't believe him, and then think, well, that's why is my life not working the way it should. Last week, Lee gave an example. Gentleman Hiro Onoda, an actual man who after World War II spent 29 years hunkered down in a foxhole in an area that's really pretty remote in the Philippines, believing that the war was still going on because his last command was, we'll let you know, we will come back. But unfortunately, the way it worked out in that war, the soldiers were told, if the Americans get you, they will treat you horribly. And, I mean, they have video of soldiers just jumping off cliffs. I think everyone else either was killed or died. He was left alone. He believed what he thought to be true. Think of what he missed for 29 years. That's a stinking long time. Think of how hard it was to be by yourself, survival mode, just trying to scrounge. But see, I want you to have that picture in your mind. That's the way we're living when we don't take God's truths as real. We're living on a bare bones. Wouldn't he have loved? Wouldn't it have been cool for him to actually go home, to enjoy his family, his wife, the comfort of his own bed, real food, lack of tension? But I want you to think of that and realize that's what we're doing when we take everything we know from God and put it in the spiritual category that we just don't believe. That's the way it is, and that's sad. So here's the truth that we're going to look at this week, this verse. Look at it with me. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the whole message today, right there. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Defining reckon, it means to establish by counting or calculating. It's what I conclude after the calculation. So, for those of you who went to homecoming, you chivalrous men who were paying the meal for your date, you had to do something after the meal. You got the bill, you looked at it, and you had to reckon, what tip am I going to give? Okay? Well, I've been drilled into by my two daughters that were both waitresses that you do not give anything below 20% unless they are extremely, extremely bad. Don't do that to me, Dad. Don't do that to any person. It's got to be 20%. So you got to sit there and you're calculating, and when you come up with that number, you have reckoned the amount that you're going to give, okay? The second definition, it says here, is it kind of an informal way of looking at it, and it sounds almost the same, but to conclude after calculation, to be of the opinion of. And this is what happens when you're in a, you know, you come into a new situation and you meet people and you look at them and you quickly make a snap judgment. You take the few, very few facts you have and you go, eh, ah, whoa, Okay, you barely met them, but you are reckoning who they are and what they're about. So that's what the word actually means. The main point is you need to be able to see things as they are accurately. So now I'm going to ask you to do something that a lot of the adults in this room don't do. Okay, so adults, We're going to talk really simply about what it looks like to reconcile your checkbook. I learned that when I was young, and I tried really hard for a long time, and I can't honestly tell you that I do it every time or all the time. I have a good sense of where my account is, but I don't always do this. But I want you to see why this is important, okay? So I'm hoping that you'll work with me on this. This is going to take you to really kind of pay attention a little bit. So next slide. Okay. Checkbook is on the left. Bank statement is on the right. So what happens when, if you've got a checkbook, so on the left, focus here, you started it January 1st this year, your parents put $100 in it for you, and so then on the 2nd, you went to Walmart with your that money from Christmas, the $100, and you bought a book for $20. Therefore, the balance you had after that was $80. And then, being the generous person that you are, you bought a card and you wrote a check for $50 that you're going to send to your friend, okay? So that means you only had $30 left, and then your grandmother, you know, sent her card out late, so you got $25 from her, and so you deposited that on January 10th. So you're back up to $55. Easy, right? So far, no big deal. Okay, on the right, this is the bank, okay? They send you a statement at the end of the month, and they say, okay, this is what you've got in your account. They show the $100 that you had. They show that you spent that Walmart check because it came in. You have $80 now. And then they show that you had that deposit from your grandma for $105. But on the left, it says you have $55. On the right, it says you have $105. You need to reconcile those two things. They're not, they don't equal. So this is what you do. You look at it and you go, okay, they don't equal. Next. You'll notice your friend, you sent the card. It took a while. They got it. And they don't know, they don't have an account. So they're like, Mom, what do I do with this check? I don't know. So eventually gets to the bank, but it didn't get to the bank by the end of the month. So you realize that's where my problem is. So next one is, this is how you reconcile it. You actually have to go to your bank statement and say, okay, here's what wasn't cashed. And I add it back into my bank statement. Okay. So then I have the numbers match up. That is reconciling your checkbook. Okay, in a very simplistic way. In a real way, both sides actually have things you add or subtract, okay? But do you catch that? Okay, so the big deal is, if all we looked at, if I only have the checkbook or the statement, I don't know what's right. And so in your life, you've only got your checkbook. It's God who has the statement that says, let me tell you what's really going on here. So you're looking at your checkbook in life and you're like, this isn't adding up. God says this, I've got this, it doesn't work. This is what I need you to see. The big deal, next slide, is you need both to know what's right. But here's the big deal. You need to look for what is the missing information. There's missing information that God's told you, but as you pursue God and say, God, how do I work this out? That's where he gives you wisdom to see what that missing information is. So next slide. So he says, this is true. You're dead to sin, you're alive to God. So let's reconcile it. First one, dead to sin. The context, the reason why he said, the things that happen because you're dead to sin, he says, because that's true, your body of sin, that you don't have to... You don't have to deal with it all the time, every day. He's trying to help you deal with it, that you will no longer be a slave to sin. That is his goal. That's where that truth starts to matter. That's why he tells you about it. Next is the reality, the problem. I don't feel this way. The way I actually feel is I feel like I am tempted. I give in to sin. I feel the guilt. I feel the shame. Just like Paul, he said, the things that I want to do, I don't do it. The things that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. It doesn't get more real than that, does it? You and I struggle, and we know we want to do the right thing, but we don't always do it. And we kick ourselves for that, and we think God is up there going, you jerk, you say you're a Christian. I've done all this for you, why don't you do it? God does not say that. God does not work that way. The things we know we don't want to do, they keep tripping us up. And it's crazy cool that Paul says, who will rescue me from this body of death? Romans 8:1. There is therefore, this is the missing information. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Guy goes, I get it. I know it's a struggle. And I'm willing to work with you in the struggle. Don't condemn yourself and say, out, done. walk with me here. And this is what he wants you to do. Okay, this is how we reconcile this. So my ledger, God's ledger. My ledger, I still struggle with sin. I feel defeated. God's ledger. This is what he already told us. I was baptized into Christ. I was united with him in his death. I was united with him in his resurrection. Okay, so that's what God did. What's missing? This is what's missing. Death, we need to start thinking. Death, if I'm dead to sin, death means separation. When I die, my spirit, my body will be separated. So how does separation factor here? He says you are dead to sin now. But you know what? That means he disconnected that sin nature that all the time was just like automatic. But when I sin, I reconnect it. I can keep reconnecting it. And it'll seem, most people live their Christian life like this. So it's like, I don't feel dead to sin. No kidding. Because you're connected. But you know what? You can disconnect that if you confess it and forsake it. God says, I forgive, heal, and cleanse. Okay? So I have to put that on that side. God's grace is given to me. I don't factor that in. God is all the time trying to give you the power and the desire to do what he wants. And if you're here today and you're like, I don't even want to follow God. I don't care. Because God has given you the grace to want that. And if you'll take it, even in that condition, he'll give you the desire to want it and then eventually give you the ability and desire to do it. The Holy Spirit lives inside me. I don't always remember the fact that it's not just me and my gut will. The Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead will use that same power to raise your and my life from the dead and help give me the power to put to death the things that are killing me. So then I put that on my side of the ledger. It means I understand what dead means now. I get it. If I keep doing this, yeah, it's going to feel that way, but it's not truth. I take God's grace. I take it every day. I am so thankful when I blow it. Many times God will come by me and go, that's all right. I'm not destroyed by your sin, but how long will it take for you to actually come back to me? And Satan just wants to stay in your face and go, you're wicked, you're wicked, you're wicked. And he keeps you away. When God just says, would you confess? I'd love to be back in relationship. Walking by the Spirit, by faith. It's something we don't know. It's something we're not comfortable with. But that God says that needs to be on our side of the ledger. That's what I need to start doing is allowing the Holy Spirit to be a part of it. It's not just my flesh. And lastly, I need to stop looking at my feelings as truth. And unfortunately, in our culture, that is so ingrained in us. What you feel is what is real. And that is absolutely not true. Feelings follow. So if you're living in sin, the feelings will follow that. But God says, if you present yourself to him, if you will come back and abide with him, the feelings will also follow. That's the truth. So, next. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we hope in the glory, hope of the glory of God. That is true. Absolutely true. Next. Therefore, the truth is I can be freed from being a slave to sin. I can obey God. I can stay alive. That's how I reconcile that first statement that I'm dead to sin. It works out. But I have to take the missing information and apply it and don't just assume that what I feel is the only thing that's real. Secondly, alive to God. Context. I died with Christ and now I'm able to live with him. If I didn't die with him, I could not live with him. I'd still be dead. I'm born again. Now I have the life of Christ in me. That's how this life is going to happen. I have his resurrected power available to me. That's the context. Here's the reality check. I don't feel that way. I feel powerless. I feel like sin just keeps kicking my butt. And matter of fact, I believe in this culture today, we've talked about this before, I feel like the sin of pornography, both for guys and for girls, has taken a hold over the spiritual desire of the youth of this country, youth in this group. And the lie is, I can't beat it. That is not true. You can live in victory over that, over pride, over jealousy, over fear. God can take anything down. That is the truth. But we're going to have to reconcile the reality of I'm dead to sin and alive to God. Shouldn't the Christian life just happen? I know this is the way I feel sometimes. Like God, like if you did all this, shouldn't it just sort of happen? And the answer is no, but it can. It's a new way of living. I just have to take seriously what I've got. So this is how I reconcile the truth of being alive to God. My ledger. I feel dead. I feel powerless. God's ledger. I was baptized into Christ. I was united with him in his death. I'm united with him in his resurrection. So what's missing? This is it. I have no power on my own. I cannot change myself. I cannot, by my own will and resolve, change myself. It's part of it, but that's not all of it. And many times, if we just think, God helps those who help themselves, and God's like, sounds good, not true. I have to help you do things that you can't do. I must stay connected. If I disconnect, I won't have power. That's true. I need to plug it back in. Just like my back computer. I can watch the numbers go down, 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 zero, dead, off. I got to plug it back in. God says, stay plugged in to me. Abide with me. Abide is where, like on a vine, you've got the vine and you've got branches. You know what the cool thing is? A branch is just sitting there. It doesn't generate any of the juice, the flow. It's just a conduit. And it doesn't grunt. You never hear vines grunting fruit out, right? They just show up. That's us. And Jesus said, get it, that's us. I'm the vine, you're the branch. All I need you to do is stay connected, the life will flow. I want you to get excited about that. Because it isn't, I think a lot of us look at the Christian life, it's like this burden. And God says, no, I carry the burden. Just abide and let my life come out through you. And I just challenge you, will you abide long enough to see that fruit does come? It happens at camps. It happens on bike trips. It can happen this week. It doesn't have to be a special event or a special place. So on my ledger, what do I got to do? What do I got to bring over? I need to stop trying to find life in sin. We all do that. We're wired like, well, that's what it's natural. My flesh wants it, so we give in. We keep thinking, I know that'll satisfy. I am not concerned that you will someday find out that you can find life in a bottle or that you can find life in bed with another person or that you'll find life achieving whatever the highest goal is you want. My fear is, how long will it take for you to realize, as good as those things are in the right context, that is not it. Life's not there. But the one you know is the life giver, and he wants to give it to you abundantly, and this is how you do it. His power comes when I abide. I need to keep short accounts. I need to deal with my sin, as we talked about before, and I need to learn what does it really mean to walk in the Spirit. That is a real thing. Next. Think about this from what I've said. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. God isn't like, hey, would you serve me? And yeah, I'll throw you a bone every once in a while. The crazy thing is you've got a heavenly Father that loves you. I love that song. That he is our Father and his love for us is what defines me. And he says in Hebrews, he says, if your earthly fathers give you gifts, don't you think I want to give you even more? Satan has made us think he's a grumpy old granddad. He's not. He's a loving and gracious Father. And his gifts are good. They're tangible. They're real. And they last. But without me, you can do nothing. He says it to us straight. He doesn't hold anything back. He tells it to us correctly. Therefore, the truth is, I am alive in Christ. I can experience this newness of life if I abide. My resurrection power, his resurrection power, is available to me. Will you reckon the truth of God that he has for you? May it become your present reality. That's your choice. I want to show you a short video right now. You've seen it before, but I want you to think about it because it tangibly shows someone who has taken this truth and everything comes alive. It's my hope that you will make that true for you. And I would love for your friends to hear that message from him on December 10th.